Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
This weekend, I will be in Houston, Texas, and Phoenix, Arizona, with Dane Cook, Friday and Saturday. This week, tomorrow, I will be at the Laugh Factory at 7:30 for a killer show. Me, Pete Holmes, Nick Swardson, Doug Benson, Candace Thompson, Mark Saratella, Laugh Factory, tomorrow, 7:30. Go get your tickets, adamraycomedy.com or laughfactory.com. Wednesday and Thursday, I'll be at the Comedy Store. And then Friday, I'll be in Houston with Dane Cook. And Saturday at Comerica Theater with Dane Cook in Phoenix, Arizona. Those tickets at danecook.com. Friday, Houston. Saturday, Phoenix. Come out and see us, baby. Getting near the end of the Tell It Like It Is tour. Next weekend, I'll be with Dane in Florida and Atlanta. So, again, come out and see us. And then Los Angeles, Dolby Theater, November 16th. We're going to close it out. Tons of LA shows coming up to Laugh Factory Comedy Store. Sandy Danto doing our Instagram Live, going live show, November 18th. Tons of shows. All the ticket info at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams this weekend going to be in San Jose at the San Jose Improv. Go see Brad Friday and Saturday and Sunday, November 1st through the 3rd. San Jose Improv, bradwilliamscomedy.com for tickets. Today's episode, oh, baby. Met this dude through my boy John Renitsky, three-time guest of the pod, hilarious man, and he's a beast. He was a young, hungry agent, then manager, and now then worked at the digital space at the Collective, and now runs Studio 71, the head of comedy development, runs Brittany Ferland's podcast, Josh Wolf. He's got a hand in Josh's Controlled Chaos. He's a rising star on the entertainment side of the business. The business side of the entertainment business? Whatever. He's a gangster. And he went through one of the craziest, scariest health scares that you could probably imagine. And he tells the whole story, and it's, no joke, going to blow your fucking mind. His name's Brian Lieberman. Yay! Brian Lieberman. Follow him on Instagram at Unbelievable, BLIEBABLE. Same for Twitter. And enjoy the hell out of this episode, man. Get ready to be fucking blown back. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, Brad at Funny Brad, at Aylin Podcast, aboutlastnightpodcast.com for past and present eps, and Aylin merch. Read the Room, my album, still available on iTunes, Google Play, Amazon, Spotify, and my comedy music album, Songs for the People, is going to be available for pre-order very soon. We have the release date of December 13th. I just sent in all the tracks. Recorded some sketches last week with Frank Caliendo, Piot Michael, Jonathan Kite. It's going to be dope, dude. Johnny Resnick from the Goo Goo Dolls laid down some backups on a song about my nieces. I'm fired up, dude. I put a lot of work into this. I can't wait for you guys to fucking hear it. December 13th, Songs for the People. Be on the lookout for pre-order. AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com for all your Adam Ray merch. Because, yeah, I'm fucking reading fan emails. Next week, I'm going to go through them. I think I said this week, but next week. So email us, AboutLastNightPod@gmail.com. Where you get the pod, how you got into it, your favorite eps, why you love it. And I'm going to send free Adam Ray merch for another 2 months here before 2019 closes out. So send us those emails. And of course, rate and subscribe on iTunes. 5-star rating, comment on the iTunes page helps us climb the charts. I'm going to start pulling from some iTunes comments as well. So get on that shit. Great eps coming up. We've said it before. Stamos, Winkler, Morin, Carvey's on Wednesday. Ida Rodriguez, Kelsey Cook. Make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends, tell your family, and enjoy the fuck out of this episode. Now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brian Lieberman.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast during lunch, dinner, or
yeah, that's your water.
My water.
What if it was like some weird couch with a dildo and it was like, you're on the dildo couch.
You're on the dildo show.
This is a new evolution of our podcast. Now we do the dildo couch.
Yeah, however you want
we
to
be. See how long can you be on the podcast while
maybe
there's a dildo.
More of that. Well, let's see. I mean, there's you can adjust it however you want.
Out.
You can, yeah. You can.
I think this is good, right?
Like this. You know, here, you can tilt this thing.
Oh.
Here. Let me.
There you go. Yeah, I just don't want to fuck with your equipment. There you go. Yeah, that's perfect. That's great. That's great. This is perfect.
Huh? You're
the dildo couch.
Keeping the dildo couch rant. Really edit them.
Like,
if we have to, we've edited a few, but
yeah, like there was one time when Adam just said the N-word continuously for about 9 minutes.
Perfect.
Like, and we had to edit that out.
I mean, edited out like three of them.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, I feel like you got to get in like a good mix of offensive stuff and then PC stuff.
You do.
It's 2019. We need to have an even keel.
Yeah,
we do.
And that's why we're keeping in dildo couch.
I love it.
Like,
is that good? I'm a small guy, you know.
Scoot that way a little
bit. I'm gonna scoot
right?
This way, yeah. Just tell me if I gotta keep scooting, you know.
As long as you're in front of
the
mic.
I'm right here.
But you can move it. Yeah, you're not gonna break it. So
no, okay.
I think we're not too far away from dildo couch.
Yeah.
Because like now, like one of those popular YouTube shows that Hot Wings show where the celebrity just eats like the most hot wings ever and tries to conduct an interview.
It's one of the biggest shows online, and I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And
I love it. You don't like it?
I mean, look, it's entertaining, really but it's like, not like itching to watch those episodes.
It's funny. Someone asked me if I wanted to do it, and I went, I mean, yeah, because it's popular, but no.
I also don't like spicy things.
Yeah, I don't want to sit there and like be sweating and in pain while someone says, so tell us about when your father had cancer. I mean, like, I don't really want to be trying to...
Well, with the spicy food.
Yeah, compartmentalize.
Distraction.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
What would be... You're a content creator, a producer. What would be a good show that you think that would be, with comedians, because that show is, I mean, they have athletes and everything, but it is comedy is still at the forefront of that show. So, like, what would you think would be a good way to have an interview chat show one-on-one with a fun element like that?
Because
after that...
Other than Dildo Couch, which is our idea.
By the way...
Which is our idea. We're patting that right now. Can you have a chat with a dildo in your butt?
You guys keep bringing up this Dildo Couch, and all I can think about is like a couch with like dildos all around it, like the Game of Thrones chair.
So instead of swords, it's just dildos?
Exactly.
Oh my
that
God.
Awesome.
I would laugh harder if I'd seen Game of Thrones.
You've never seen Game of Thrones?
No, but I have seen... But I know what the chair is enough to get the dildo couch reference.
Yeah.
Guess what? I would have watched it. If episode two, I was like, dude, you missed last week's. You got to get into the show. Prometheus sat in a, what's his name again? Psoriasis? What's
sure. Let's just go with psoriasis.
Let's go with that.
Oh, who's the chick? The white chick.
Oh. Tourette's.
Tourette's?
Yeah, Tourette's.
No, it's not.
But guess wow, what? Good. You're getting better.
Nope, still believed it.
Right. Well, no, wait. Is he talking about Daenerys?
Daenerys.
Daenerys. Yeah.
Clitoris.
Yeah, yeah. Clitoris. By the way, Soraya's is not too far off. And again,
close. If
you guys told me in a synopsis of a Game of Thrones episode, you got to get into the show, Adam, psoriasis sat on the dildo couch, I would have been like,
well, okay.
You can't pitch me better than that.
I guess
I'm
in.
She sat down and she never got up. That was the end of the show.
Yeah.
That was the end of the show.
Well, we saw who won the Game of Thrones.
Huge bummer.
You sat down and you just never got up.
By the way, that's if there's an infomercial for a guy being like, come on down to Gary's Dildo Couch Emporium. That's
you'll never get up.
Yeah, yeah. You'll sit down and you'll never get up.
I mean, that's what they should do for these new mattress commercials, because it's all like these mattress in a box commercials.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple, but I won't mention them because one of them might sponsor the podcast.
Right.
But
we love you guys.
Yeah,
we love you so much for all the support, everything.
And like that would be a much better sell. Like I think they do these commercials where they're like, oh, it's your perfect night's sleep. No, they need to come out and be like, dude, you can fuck on this like really well.
I'm actually not even kidding. I have a friend. I'm not going to name him by name because if this got out, he would probably be ruined forever.
Rob Schneider.
It is Rob Schneider. No, but I got this buddy who I went to college with, and he's like huge nympho, goes to these like crazy sex orgy parties. He's invited me multiple times.
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's just too weird.
You're talking like the Eyes Wide Shut type stuff?
Like very much so. He's like, yeah, you come, you got to bring like two or three girls with you, and you got to be down for them to get fucked by all these other people. I'm like, dude, like I'm like a one-woman guy, and if I see some other guy fucking this girl, I'm going to be super self-conscious
Jealous.
And freaking out. I can't do that.
Yeah.
So he goes to all these fucking sex parties and wait, sorry, I was talking about the sex party thing. Oh, shit, I'm blanking on this.
No,
right
the
now.
Dildo couch. Your buddy,
the dildo couch. Oh yeah. Okay. So this guy who's obsessed with these sex parties, he's like, yeah, man, like I got like this big project I'm working on right now. I'm like, oh, is it like a film project or like TV? Because he works in the business.
Right.
He's like, nah, man. He's like, I got this like private like builder who's coming to work and like make my couch and my bed into like a sex object.
Holy shit.
So like, you like, he's like, you position a girl like somewhere in the middle of the bed and like a dildo pops out and like starts fucking her, and like I got
like a fun house,
like
a sexual fun house,
like a sex fun house.
It sounds like Inspector Gadget made a sex mattress
meets Mousetrap.
Go Gadget dildo.
And all of the walls, God, all of sketch. The walls are painted purple, and he calls it the purple suit factory. It's really fucking weird, but like,
the purple suit factory,
it's strange.
How long have you been friends with Jeffrey Epstein?
For like 6 years.
Wow.
Rethinking everything now.
I mean,
yeah, that's another level of.
I don't want to dedicate that much time.
Matt Lauer
to
had the sex
anything.
And money.
Yeah, and money.
This kid's spending thousands of dollars,
well,
like
that's my
sexing
question.
Up his house.
Sexing up his house.
See the weird, like the weird part about, there's many weird parts about that. For me.
Yeah,
but
yeah, one
of the weirdest parts is like, could you imagine if you like. You're walking back to your car from the Home Depot and one of those kids comes up and's like, can you spare like $5 to help my basketball team and buy this chocolate bar? And you're like, no, all my money's going to my sex bed. Yeah. My go-go
I
gadget
can't spare
sex
a dollar
bed.
Right now.
I got a dildo coming out of a headboard right now. Lube comes out from the sheets. Like, I can't. What, you want me to buy a chocolate bar? Can I rub the chocolate bar on somebody's nipples?
I'm all
like,
for
that's
helping
the
only
thing.
I'm all for helping these kids, but getting fucked is A+ priority.
Yeah, wow. That is something, but like I said, we're just a few steps away from that. Someone's gonna have, like, we have comedians in cars getting coffee. We're 3 years away from comedians telling jokes with a butt plug.
Comedians in cars getting coffee while getting fucked while drinking coffee.
I mean, because YouTube, you know, stuff like that. The standards for censorship are a lot different.
Well, yeah, I can even speak to that. Like, I work on that side, and like, you
sure.
can't really get away with anything anymore. Like, it's so PC now.
On YouTube. Okay.
Like in the era of like mail order comedy is over. Like, there are sketch comedians that are doing great work on YouTube, but like, the algorithm does not favor sketch content for some reason, so it's really hard to find.
And now, can't you like, because I have some friends that do political humor, and can't people just flag anything as offensive?
My Instagram account literally got taken down yesterday for posting a photo of my shirt off. They were like, you've violated community guidelines.
Whoa.
And it was not.
Is that because you have a baby face and they thought you might have been.
Maybe.
You
like,
might be nine.
It's possible. But like, I had, like, it was at a time when I still had hair on my chest. Sometimes I shave it to look more like a baby. I had hair on my chest and I was covering up my genitals with my thumbs up.
Okay.
But there was nothing about it that was racy or inappropriate.
No, it's just funny.
It was funny. Like, if anything,
male nudity.
Yeah. If anything, people would see it, be like, yeah, like, that's a picture that Brian would post online.
Yeah.
But like, now it's like a huge thing with my group of friends. Like, we're calling it Instigate, because I also have this like really weird habit, like, that if my pictures aren't getting enough likes, I'll take them down and then I'll re-upload them at another time. But I'm moving up. Like, I took Instagram off my phone for days, and then this Face Me app came out and I was like, I got to put this thing up. This is so funny.
Gotta
and
know
then
it's
I put
like
up a photo
old.
And then my Instagram account gets taken down.
Oh, wait. Oh, so did you have yourself as old naked with the thumbs
old
up?
Old naked with my
funny.
Thumbs up on my dick.
Very funny.
Yeah, very funny. And I fought it, and they reactivated my account, but I'm not allowed to post for like another like 72 hours.
And that's
something.
The thing, like, if something like that happens, it's not like, oh, hey, the gate to your building won't open. You know who to talk to.
Right.
Like, when you're talking to what, the Instagram police, they're like, will they get
Mark
to me?
Mark Zuckerberg.
Will they not? Yeah, like, will like, and it's really up to them if your stuff gets flagged or
but
gets
but
not.
I mean, but like, I mean, I'm seeing all these like Instagram girls like posting like titty pics with like, you know, pastes on their nipples.
Yeah.
And
oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, how is that okay? And I can't post a picture of myself in a bathtub with my thumb over my dick.
You should be able to.
Is it because I look like so young?
Probably. You do. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Yeah, if you
get that baby face,
if you shaved if you shaved your face, like, yeah, I think Michael Jackson would still go for you.
And honestly, that's an honor.
Did you watch that documentary?
Of course I did.
How quick are you in just the entertainment business on a whole, when you see something that's clickbait or you hear about something that everyone's like, you gotta watch, do you go to?
Usually I do, yeah. Because yeah. like I feel
you're,
like,
you're interested and also you feel like you...
I feel like it's like a conversation starter, right? I mean, it's like, did you see that video of that little guy freaking out in the bagel shop?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah,
I did.
It was amazing.
I have...
I thought you were talking about Brad for a minute.
No.
I was like, wait, is there another video?
You're not my dad.
I have thoughts about this fucker.
So do I. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, because, all right, first
initial
of all...
Initial thoughts.
Yeah, first of all, he's like, oh, man, you girls on Tinder, you hate short guys.
Right.
Yeah, welcome to my fucking life. Be thankful you're 5 foot, you
but
piece
you
of shit.
You crush
yeah.
it.
Exactly.
And I
because
don't
you
do
embrace
so bad either.
It. You embrace it.
I embrace
it.
My height.
Yes.
Issues.
Not you don't get met.
But this
no
guy sounds like he's got like
issues.
He's got years
other stuff
of
going on. Like I'm such a compassionate person that I
yes.
immediately feel bad for him.
No,
and I'm
yeah.
like,
I mean,
this
got
guy
attacked.
Has he got he you could tell other shit was going on.
Yes.
He has struck out hardcore. He
sure.
clearly has had women be like, you know, you short fuck, whatever it is,
yeah.
they've, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm
right.
sure they have said some not nice things to him.
He probably
and
fucked up his toaster strudel that morning.
And now
I'm
he's
sure.
at his, probably his favorite bagel shop,
yeah.
or what, or was it a McDonald's?
It was a bagel shop.
Yeah.
Okay. And it looked good, like the bagels looked
and this
really
is probably,
good.
He's like, what can I control? I can control the bagel sandwich that I like. And now not even that place is serene for him. You know
no.
what I'm saying?
Yeah, like
now
that was the one place he could go.
And feel safe.
And feel
and not
safe.
Get chastised.
Right.
And now some people, and the woman behind him who, did you hear that? Why he got all fired up?
What's that?
So he tried to order, we wanted an egg on the sandwich a certain way. And the woman, I think said Indian or Pakistani and did not understand really what he wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And kind of rolled her eyes. And he was like, it's what I get all the time. You don't have to do that. And then she was like smirking with other customers at him because he was like not getting freaky Friday yet with it. But he was just kind of like, yo, this is what I always do. It's
right.
not a big deal.
Yeah.
And then she was making faces to customers and kind of being like, this fucking guy in front of him.
That's not
that
cool.
To me is such a big no-no.
And yeah, but that's not cool.
No.
Like, that's not cool on her
And so
part.
They set him off. Yeah,
yeah.
Like if you're like the guy asked for something and you didn't know how to do it and
yeah.
you're like, this fucking guy wants over easy eggs on a pumpernickel bagel.
But also like, why the fuck is it not okay to get an over easy egg on a bagel?
I don't know, dude.
Like, I honestly kind of side with the guy now. Like there's nothing I love more than an egg on a bagel.
And I love that statement. Hold that thought. Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Dildo Couch.
Yes.
Once you sit down, you'll never get up.
Also brought to you by Eggs on a bagel.
They've been happening for years. Quit making your orders confusing and you won't get yelled at in a bagel shop.
Yeah.
What's that guy's name? I followed him on Instagram though.
Does he have a big following?
Maybe 2,000.
I feel like he's getting so like
he's getting his
so
mark.
He'll,
right oh, he's getting
he'll be,
no, like he's getting a lot of like
yeah.
he's getting a lot of girls right now.
He'll,
or guys. I mean, like I don't know his sexual preference.
Do you think there's some bagel empathizers?
Yeah. I'm sure, dude. I'm sure.
By the way, aren't they gonna battle the Transformers soon? The
yeah.
bagel empathizers?
Absolutely.
I'm
wait, but
sure
don't you
will.
Feel like he's gonna be invited to like some event like model's gonna be
yes.
over him? They're gonna be like, you're the guy.
Yes.
That's they're, awesome.
People
like,
are so obsessed. Yeah, people are so obsessed with fame now that
yeah.
there's absolutely some women out there that'll fuck the angry bagel guy.
I would. I let him
he's
fuck
like
me.
The Sanjaya of 2019.
The Sanjaya of 2019.
Drink four if you're playing the
Sanjaya.
Do you
remember Sanjaya?
What? Yes.
Dude,
I mean,
I went to all those
I
concerts.
Saw that movie. Do you remember Sanjaya?
No. Do you remember Sanjaya?
No.
Okay.
If so,
put a pin in that.
Yeah.
But you went to all the American Idol concerts?
Like, I went to like four of them.
I've only read about you people.
Yeah.
How were they?
Terrible. But they were so cool at the time.
I know. And guess
sure.
what, dude? They're probably...
Like, Ruben Studdard, are you fucking serious?
I still say that.
Only time
and
that sentence
guy,
has
now
ever
he owns
been
like
said.
A lobster yeah. shack in like New Orleans.
Good for him.
I mean, come you know, on over, get a lobster.
That doesn't
is
sound
that
bad.
What he does?
I don't know, but he should.
That was a brilliant improv and an
you.
Even better business suggestion.
Yeah.
Ruben, if you are listening, and we know you aren't, but dude, that guy cashed in on that. And
gosh.
I think Idol, I mean, look, I watch The Voice every now and then if my dad's like, you got to see this train wreck on The Voice or
yeah.
you got to see, he loves when people do succeed and they have insane stories like Susan Boyle, he still can't even believe that that's
so
a real
cool.
thing.
Yeah.
But yeah. Ruben Studdard was in an era where, you know, there was still, I don't know how much reality TV we were even exposed to at that point. You know what I'm saying? Idol
yeah.
was in its maybe third or fourth year.
I think
right?
it was like it's, yeah.
Him and Clay
definitely.
Aiken, it
yeah.
was the talk of the town. You want to talk Dildo Couch, Game of Thrones. This was like every water cooler was like, did you see what Studdard did? Did you, Kelly Clarkson is going to do a guest spot on this season. Like, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying?
And think
remember
about
Dane
like,
Cook performed on an episode of American Idol.
That's that I remember. And
at
that's
the height
crazy
of, yes,
to think about.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Now you looking back, like think about how progressive that season was. The top two.
Gay, black.
Gay, black. Not just gay and black, but gay and heavy black.
Heavy black and thin gay.
And thin gay.
By the way, those are my two favorite porn categories.
Heavy black.
Heavy black and thin gay. I watch them all the time.
Thin gay, by the way, sounds like when they were in the room trying to come up with the name for Ben Gay.
Yep.
Yeah.
They were like, thin gay. And
we can't do that.
We can't do that. And they're like, dude, let's give Ben the credit. He came up with the idea.
Ben's gay.
Yeah,
Ben's gay. That's it. That's it.
I'm having a great time.
This is great.
By the way, coming up.
I may get fired, though, after
I would
this.
Sure.
I would love to see the behind the music on how cream names got made. And not just cream names. And by the way,
what, like
saying
the
cream name too many times makes you feel like you got to sign some paperwork.
Absolutely.
But I feel like the guy.
Fat black, thin gay, cream name.
Heavy black. Is that your vocal warm-up in theater school?
Yeah. Heavy black, thin gay, cream gay.
No.
Cream name?
Cream
gay.
Like, you see
shaking.
The fucking straight dude and Brad got all nervous? And
I
he's like,
love
it's
that.
Done. You know what? Straight Brad's gone.
You said
gone.
Cream gay.
Cream gay. Bring it.
Straight Brad died today.
Cream gay, by the way, if you're a decorator trying to help somebody figure out the paint for their house.
I'm thinking a cream gay vibe for this one.
Cream
world.
Gay?
I'm thinking
gay.
Heavy black.
I mean heavy black.
Hey, you know what? We were thinking more of a thin gay. Have you considered cream gay?
I want cream gay. Like,
what does that mean?
It's
well, we're going to send you some samples. You're going to check it out. You tell us what you think.
Some samples. We're actually going to send you some links.
We're going to send you some links. Like, we're going to send you a couple bodies.
What is that color, think? Cream gay? I think it's like Pantene Pro-V with a little bit more water in it.
Do you guys like Pantene Pro-V? Do you guys like Pantene Pro-V?
I mean,
I don't mean to like side. Like,
no,
I
we are. Let's, yeah,
Pantene
no, it's time
Pro-V.
To shift gears. What, we're talking shampoo.
Oh, dude, like, I.
Is it
I,
what you use?
I've got the Jewiest hair. And Pantene claims to
Adam,
have...
Adam, what would the Jewiest hair be? Is it just like your hair complains a lot? Like, oh, you can't get a good pastrami.
Yeah. I mean, it just never does
just
what
conditioner
you want it
doesn't...
to do. But honestly, Adam's hair is very cool, and I've always like wanted Adam's hair.
It's luxurious.
I've been blessed. You know,
you have
it's good.
Although
John's got great hair
John's
for
got great
a Jew.
Hair. My girl just told me that wearing headphones and hats a lot, somebody told her at work, like, will make you bald.
Really?
Yep. Is that true?
Yeah, and it sucks because like I'm starting to wear hats more because I am already kind of thinning. So I'm like, okay, I'm gonna throw in the hat, and then now it makes it worse. I don't know.
No, well, here's the thing: you with the hat is great, and I feel like,
good. Oh, dude,
it's
I think
you
you're
now.
Fucking hot.
But also, you got great hair. But also,
look at that.
Yeah,
it's
you do,
cute, dude. That's
you
cute.
Got great hair. Also,
you
let's
do,
be
actually.
I'm gonna go full emo Brad right
I
now.
I actually love that a lot. That's Paperboy Brad.
Dude, let's record an album.
And there's nothing better than a bald dwarf, by the way.
Oh,
and
I've my
said that.
God.
It was my high school yearbook quote. Also, bald dwarf, heavy black, thin gay.
I'm so glad that we really established that today.
But yes. You know what I'm saying? If you aren't there enough things now to because when she said that, I did get nervous. I was like, God damn. I've always had hair, and I've had buddies that have started to go or are bald, even like 5 years younger than me.
Oh, yeah.
And it's never been a concern. And her even just mentioning it made me go,
freaking
dude,
out.
If that happened, I would definitely. But then I think about the comics that I know that have heavily used things.
Yeah.
And
there's
nobody
Hims,
can tell.
There's Hims, Rogaine, there's a bunch of stuff.
Plugs. A lot of
and
guys there, do
and
plugs.
There's plugs. Which Bill Burr did a whole bit about how, like, when stuff comes out, wait. You know, wait, because the first initiation of it is never good.
Right.
I think we're getting to a good point with plugs now, which is my new daytime talk show. Good point with plugs.
Yeah.
And where
like
we just talk to people with plugs.
I love that.
Like Cocoa Krispies came out, but everybody was like, "Dude, wait for the puffs.
Wait for the puffs.
Man.
Wait for
the
puffs.
Krispies. You're just gonna don't trust rice.
They're
did
gonna
it
get
okay.
soggy. You're not gonna love it.
Yeah.
Wait, was Rice Krispies Snap Crackle and Pop?
Yes.
Yeah, it had to have been right.
Yeah. It was. And then, by the way,
all
treats change.
What are they doing now? Huge heroin addicts.
They have to be.
I mean, Smack is for sure.
I mean, I would definitely.
No, Snack. Is it Snack Crackle Pop?
I mean, I would.
Snack. Snap.
Was it Smack?
But Snap
crack,
is doing Smack.
Smack, Crack, and Pop
smack.
Music.
Yeah.
I legitimately thought it was Smack Crackle Pop.
No, it is. But now
no, it's Snap.
It's Snap?
Yes.
That's not right.
Yeah, Snap Crackle Pop.
I don't like that.
Snap Crackle Pop, and they're all now dating the Powerpuff Girls.
So we have to call Mark Zuckerberg to get my Instagram back. We have
we
to
do.
Call the CEO of Rice Krispies to get the
to change their names.
You gotta change it.
Also, they're old now. What are their kids doing? Their tits
their tits.
What are their tits?
Their tits are coming off.
I mean, it was a horrible side effect of eating too many Rice Krispies.
What if that was the fourth one they added? They go, the new Rice Krispies characters
Snap,
are...
Snap, Crackle, Pop. Well,
I'm
going to
blow your tits off.
In this politically correct time, we have to have a female. So here's tits. What? You're calling her tits?
Yeah, like, is
that what else are we supposed to call
her? Is that inappropriate?
What else do we identify her by?
Yeah, we can call her ass.
I love the idea that General Mills is run by just a bunch of misogynistic perverts.
It's gotta be, right?
We'll call her tits.
Yeah, let's come up with a cereal called Bosoms.
Yeah, you pour the milk on them. Yeah.
Because that's what comes out
that's
of them.
But
now you put...
And we have a bottle that's shaped like a dick. So you'd like
your
cream.
You
lick them before you chew.
It's got chocolate nipples.
You lick them before you chew.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Those are the morals I live by.
And that's the voiceover as the kid's eating.
Yeah. You lick them before you chew.
He's like looking around like, what the fuck?
What do I do?
who's doing that voiceover? Yeah. Fucking Macho Man? Yeah. That was interesting.
Right, we're trying to lock down a couple
lick
of like, big
names. Lick them before you chew.
Yeah.
We're trying to lock down some big names right now.
We have to.
Just Albas and talks.
Right, pull this over a little bit. I want you to be
good.
Dead on. Yeah, you can even push it back a little. Like,
how's that?
You know, like that way.
That way.
Yeah.
And then,
is that
good?
Yeah, that works. Or no. Cool. You know what? I just want you to be comfy.
I'm super comfy, dude.
He's got it. He's got a pillow on his lap.
That's great. Yeah. I love it. Yeah, the pillow on my lap is super important. Like, I love the pillow on my lap.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
It was a last minute
security
edition.
Thing?
No, I mean, I just... Why, you think I'm hard right now?
No, not...
Let's talk about titty cereals.
Because I am. Obviously. You should be.
Brian, I got to ask you something.
Yeah, what's up?
Did you... I know you've dabbled in stand-up a little bit.
Yeah.
But, like, you don't get enough credit. And I think... I want to know how funny you were prior to being friends with comedians the way you were and being in this business. Because as long as I've known you, I thought you were a comic the first time I met you. Because you just... You're quick as fuck. Sharp, you're smart, like all the things that you would want in a great comedian, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you were just privy to stand up. So I was like, oh, this guy's a student of the game and he's in it.
Yeah.
And but so what came first, like an interest in all that or being
friends? Yeah, I mean, like, I grew up just like the one guy in my group of friends who just like refused to play sports, you know? Mm-hmm. And like, I always, it's not that I didn't like sports. It was just like, I'd much rather watch a movie or study something that was on TV or go to, you know, just study music, whatever it really was. So at a really young age, I started doing like performing and I did like some off-Broadway productions and I did, you know, chorus and all the musicals and stuff in school. And then when I moved out to LA and started spending time in college and being around the comedy scene a little bit more aggressively, going to UCB shows and things like that, I mean, I just absolutely fell in love with it. And I think I always had like a propensity to comedy. And obviously, like, as you get older, like, shit gets harder. So I feel like you're drawn to comedy more because it's kind of like a release.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It helps you through very trying times. Mm-hmm. So I would always lean on more of the comedy, self-deprecating side of things as opposed to like just keeping everything positive all the time. Right. I like and identify with the sort of comedian staple, if you will. Like the archetype of a comedian is a type of person that I sort of connect with on a lot of levels.
Was there anybody in particular that you really saw?
I mean, Robin Williams, growing up was like huge for me. And I met him actually like 2 months before he passed away.
Whoa,
no kidding. Where?
Do you remember when he did this Broadway production of a show called Bengal Tiger and the Baghdad Zoo?
I did hear about that.
Sounds like a Shel Silverstein book, but interesting.
Could have been. But he
was
had
he
this
good?
Huge beard. Oh, I'm looking at that photo. It was the same beard that he had in that photo that's sitting right over there of you and him. Mm. That's the big beard that he had. And I remember I was interning for this company in New York when I was still in college. And I remember going home and I was like, something is not right with that guy. Like, something is off. And then like a month later. But yeah, he was always huge for me. Steve Martin was huge for me. Obviously, like, all the cheesy Adam Sandler comedies from the 90s were massive. But I always was watching SNL. I was always going to theater. I was always just studying the craft of acting and filmmaking altogether.
And Jeff, that is a goal then where you're like, I'm going to do this?
Yeah. I mean, I think I always knew at a very young age, even like from age 8 up, that I was going to work in this industry. Like, people ask me all the time, would you go back and change anything? And I wouldn't. Like, I can't imagine doing anything else. I don't want to work in finance. Like, I don't even know how to do math.
Once you say, it is one of the benefits of doing this profession. I think we can all attest. It's like, there's certain business things you have to learn, but there's certain things that, like, I knew I was going to do this. So in high school, I only concerned myself with math and the fucking quadratic formula because I was like, I need to get a good grade in this class to be able to get into college. But like after that, I am out.
Formula.
What's that?
I just got stressed when you said quadratic formula.
But are you still hard?
Absolutely. I got Brad right next to me.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
I feel like we're getting really close today, buddy.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever have to learn a song to remember that thing?
No.
I don't think so.
But if you're trying to alley-oop to yourself to sing the quadratic formula.
God, I haven't done this since high school. X equals negative B plus or minus square root B squared over 4AC all over 2A.
Yeah, whoa. And you're definitely not hard now.
Over 2A.
That's
over
right.
2A.
I remember. I get tits. I get pussy all the time.
No, wait, did that help?
Yeah, because that's how you remember shit.
Would you be
shit.
Like the guy in the back of the class singing it during tests?
Oh my God, yes.
I love it.
I would totally do that.
Brad, stop singing the fucking song and finish your work. Yeah,
the teacher would get mad because she's like, you're giving away the answers. Yeah, and I'm like, well, you taught us the fucking song so we could remember it.
I would make crib sheets in all of my classes. Like,
crib sheets?
I was like the master cheater in high school.
Oh, so like those like mini fonts?
Like, yeah, I had the smallest handwriting you've ever seen.
Wow.
And you could read it.
Oh yeah,
that's brilliant.
And people would pay me to make them cheat sheets.
No shit.
I wish I knew you,
entrepreneur.
Seriously,
because I had to make my own, and I got caught.
Oh,
and
dude,
almost
I was so good.
You were
I was
you
so good? And
did you learn from somebody else, or did you just kind of?
No, dude. I just like it was easier. I always looked for the easy way out.
Now
everything.
Yeah. Now how did you learn?
How did I learn?
Or like how did you not get caught?
I mean, I think it's just like you're in the moment. And it's like it's either do
fight or flight.
Die. Yeah, exactly.
Wait, John and you went to high school.
We went to elementary school and high school together. And John always used to give me so much hate. Be like, dude, you don't fucking like earn your grades yourself. You're a cheater. I'm like, John, you do the same shit, dude.
I would say that the cheaters absolutely earn their grades. They figure out the way to cheat.
It's harder to cheat.
Yeah. It's like saying drug dealers like don't earn their money. They do. Yeah. You don't like the way they do it, but they earn it.
I definitely like got accused a few times, and I was like, what? Me?
No.
Cheating? No.
Oh,
and they'd be like, yeah, all right. Probably not.
You put that on your acting reel, right?
Yeah, right?
It was good, huh?
What?
It's like, yeah.
What? You crazy?
It's very Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
What? No.
Yeah. No. What? No, my God.
By the way, say hi to your mother for me. That's a good way to get out of any cheating accusation.
Yeah,
just going to Wahlberg.
What? Yeah. No.
No.
Say hi to your mother for me.
Say hi to your mother for me.
I'm 70 years old. My mom's been dead
for 20 years. So now I know you cheated.
Yeah. Well, I'll still say hi to her for me.
But okay, there were even a few situations in college too. Like I remember I wrote a paper in remember those like Turnitin sites? I mean, maybe you guys were too old or like too young or like
I was on them.
You had that?
Yeah.
Turnitin sites.
Turnitin. So like you would write a paper and then you would submit it to this website and then it would check all websites to make sure that there was no plagiarism.
We had turn him insights where it was like if you saw some shady guy on campus.
Yeah. It's like if you see something, say something.
Well, this is the same thing just with papers. So like they dumbed down the technology basically.
Yeah.
So you would.
So I mean like I was always in the clear in high school. Mm-hmm. And then in college, I remember very specifically I wrote this paper about Jaws. Mm-hmm. And I had to like analyze how Jaws was representative of the political and societal fears of the time.
Holy shit.
It was a really
bullshitted paper. It was though.
It was good though, but it was all bullshit.
Okay, so here's the thing, like
because
being a good bullshitter, like again, it's like was your writing good?
Yes.
So then the topic, I feel like again, it's like I used to have a bit about this with like a band. If your band, if the music's good, doesn't matter what the band is called.
No,
people are still going to go see it.
Right.
It's like if U2 could have been Me 3, the Beatles could have been the Beaners. You know what I'm saying? And people would still be like, "Wow, that's kind of racist," but I'm still going to go see their show.
Right.
So with you, it's like the topic might have been silly,
right?
But if you backed it up with the content, then your teacher had no option.
Right. Yeah,
to be
I mean,
like,
it was the most beautiful golden covered shit you've ever seen. But
no teacher ever caught on.
No, but. This is what happened in college when I wrote that Jaws paper.
Mm-hmm.
This teacher brought me into his office like in like during office hours. So it was like very like, what's going on? Is there a problem?
Yeah.
And he pulls out my paper and he's like, I found some, you know, plagiarized parts of your paper. And I was like, what did I plagiarize?
God.
And he pulls out the intro paragraph where I literally just wrote the log line of Jaws. Jaws, this is the story of a killer shark who haunts a beach town in New Jersey. He goes, you took that right from IMDb, didn't you? And I go, dude, how else do you describe the story of
Jaws? I'm not
going
to try to do a new version of a synopsis.
Of the best log line for one of the best movies.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
Yeah,
dude,
fuck off.
You didn't
My parents literally wanted to disown me. They were like, you can't believe you're back to your old ways.
You didn't say like the best of times it was the worst of times. Like you said, like the basic log line.
There's
of
the no
film.
Other way to tell the story of Jaws. Yeah.
It would have been great if you put that and then put like hyphen Brian Lieberman.
Hyphen
like.
IMDb Brian.
These are my words.
These are my words, but perfect. Also IMDb stole them.
Yeah. Stole them from my paper.
You do a follow-up paper. IMDb
honestly,
stole
so
this from me.
Now we need to reach out to the brand that you're afraid of pulling out from this. I need to reach out to Mark Zuckerberg.
Yes.
I also have to reach out to IMDb and clear this up.
What do you think Zuckerberg, quick tangent, is doing right now?
Hopefully cocaine.
Hopefully that, or...
He's probably like tapping into all those photos that were taken on the Face
app. The Russian
app.
Face
app. Yeah, what's going on with... Is that true?
I got to imagine it is.
Somebody posted that like that's... Somebody goes, you guys know that was a Russian something. Trump's going to win now.
Oh, well, that's dumb. But like, what's new about this app that's not unlike any other app that we have? People are freaking out that people are going to hack our information. Every app that we have has all of our information.
Yeah.
Once you have a phone, you're done, dude.
You're done.
Yeah, stop
that's why
trying
the people
keep it in.
That are like, you know, are able to disconnect and truly live without that. Yeah, you're probably in the clear.
You're probably okay.
You're also probably not contributing to society.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because I was about to say, well, my dad has never owned a cell phone, but he's been retired since for 20 years.
But that's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got out. What does he need? His family?
Yeah.
The friends he knows?
Fox News. That's it.
Call
it.
Yeah. Fox News.
But even his friends, does he call them on like a landline?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Gotta love the landline.
Somebody
people.
Gotta love the landline. Love a good landline.
Gotta love a good landline. Brought to you by landlines.
To quote Sal Vulcano, I love a good. Like, he's the best at like. I love it. He'll post like a he posts like potpourri in a bathroom somewhere, and he's like, love a good potpourri. You
know? I love that. Who doesn't though?
Who doesn't?
Seriously,
who doesn't love a good
and
potpourri?
I don't want to meet the
it's
person
a legitimate
that does.
Question because it's rhetorical.
Dude, there's so many things like that that I just go, there are two types of people in this world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like farts, they are always funny.
Always
I go, if you hear a fat kid fart in an elevator and he laughs and you don't high five him, you support ISIS. Right. That's as clear as it gets.
I totally agree.
Like, I agree.
If you, like, you know, like breaking it down as simple as that, where it's just like, this should be something we all enjoy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Saying thank you if someone opens a door for you.
Always.
There are two different types of people. People that just walk in and people that acknowledge the gesture.
What about the people who try to walk into an elevator as they're getting out and you're trying to get in? Jesus fuck. I hate those
benefit of the doubt that someone's probably coming in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a two-way street,
it's
baby.
It's a two-way street. What year were you born?
Yeah. And even so, like when I exit an elevator, I try to do it. Like I'm driving, I try to stick to like the right side.
Right, yeah, you got to go this left side
because this is America,
that's smart.
Motherfucker.
That's smart. You got to give access to both people.
Of course, if I go to England or Australia, then I get fucked up.
Then you get confused. I don't drive anymore though, so like I'm not as concerned. Like I haven't been able to drive since I got sick.
Yes, and let's talk about.
Oh yeah. Great segue, actually. Without even
great
thinking
segue.
About it.
And then I want to talk more about your career
because
that ties into just how inspiring of a human being you are.
Totally.
I don't think Brad fully knows.
I've heard whispers.
Whispers.
But this is why, I mean, again, you were an inspiring, amazing dude prior to this, you know, which is why it's extra insane to me that you are now back in the swing of things. You know what I'm saying?
What happened?
What happened? So take us through as much as you want as to without feeling like it's... You know, too much.
I'm so
show us on the microphone where you hurt.
Yeah, no, I'm honestly like so open about talking to this stuff.
Good.
The way that I always leave it is like it was the greatest and worst thing that ever happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
More so the greatest.
Wow.
In a very weird way.
But it took a minute to get to that place.
It took about 2 years to get to where I am.
Sure.
Now. And I'm now finally feeling like I was just telling Adam before we started, like I'm finally back to 100%.
Love that.
And that took a long time to
get
there.
Yeah.
Mentally, physically,
there's a lot of stuff that goes into every, like...
Yeah.
Turn this just a little bit more.
Yeah, of course. Good.
So, start from the beginning. What did God say when he made you?
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. So I'll go back a little bit. I always tell people, like, what happened to me was the greatest and worst single thing that's ever happened to me in my entire life. And I'm so grateful for it in a very weird way. But yeah, so basically what happened was... I guess it was about like 3 years ago or 4 years ago now. I got a heart doctor in LA because I had a cardiologist back in Jersey where I'm from. And I never really had any like major heart issues, but I knew that I was born with this like valve that was closed a little bit more than the others. And the only preventative measure I had to do before going to the doctor or anything was like pre-medication or something, right?
Right.
Just to make sure that if anything goes in, I'm not going to get infected or
right.
something.
Okay.
So fast forward to like 3 years of me living in LA, I go to this cardiologist in UCLA who I've been seeing for a little while, and he recommends that I get this surgery, which is basically going to replace the valve with a mechanical valve to stop any potential leakage from happening any further.
Okay.
So they do this surgery. It's a huge success. They put me on blood thinners. I'm good for 2.5-3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to 2.5-3 years later, I'm home in New Jersey. I come back to LA. I'm feeling incredibly sick. Like I have the flu. I went to urgent care. They were like, you're good. Like just here's some medication. It's definitely the flu.
Here's aspirin. Yeah.
Yeah. Here you go. Just get out of here. And then a day later, my roommate at the time found me in my room and I was just completely passed out and sweating like crazy. And I was not speaking. I couldn't function. I couldn't see anything. I was very much, I think, in the process of becoming incredibly, incredibly sick.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't know what it was.
Were you cognizant at all during that time?
All of this is a blur. Okay. Like John told me that he came to drop off like food and Gatorade for me, and I don't remember that at all.
Holy
I don't remember
shit.
Going to urgent care. I don't remember eventually then going back to UCLA because my parents were like, you got to go to UCLA and go see your doctor. So my roommate drives me over. It's the following day now, and I guess they brought me into some, you know, inspection room in the ER, and they were like, this guy is septic right now. He got an infection on his heart. We don't know what it is,
Jesus.
But we need to rush him into surgery immediately. So this Jeez. Is just me and my roommate, and I'm clearly not functioning because, again, I don't remember any of this.
Right.
I didn't even have my wallet. I didn't have my ID. I didn't have anything.
And family is
in New Jersey.
Oh.
My roommate calls them, says, you got to get on a plane. You got to come to LA. Brian's really sick. They're rushing him into surgery right now. And my parents say to this day, they're like, we got on that plane not knowing if we were going to get to LA and you were going to be alive.
Oh.
So they land in LA.
Just about the worst Jeez. Thing the yeah. worst. Parent can
like,
go.
Could you imagine that flight?
No.
Could you imagine?
No.
Like,
you can't,
terrible.
Well, yeah, you can't sleep. You can't, no. you know. Anyone makes any complaint or whatever on that flight, you just want to scream at them.
Yep.
Like, shut the fuck up! I'm going through some shit. Like,
and they had no idea how long they were going to be there for either.
Oh my god!
Right?
Yeah.
So they packed for like
part of you probably even on the
6 weeks
on the plane that wants to like knock on the cockpit and be like, "Can you go faster?"
Yeah, yeah, seriously.
Like you're in that panic.
I think that they were actually making calls like while they were on the plane.
Oh, good.
To like John and whoever else
just
was
to
there.
Keep updated.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah. So you go into emergency surgery.
So I go into emergency surgery.
And what are they doing?
They're trying to figure out what the infection is. They mm-hmm. noticed that there was an infection. Long story short, they had to cut me back open. As they're doing surgery to remove this valve that they learned became infected with staph.
Staph infection on your heart.
On my heart.
Usually staph, you get like a staph infection on some skin.
Right, so they don't know how I got the staph.
Yeah.
But the staph went into my body and went for the one single foreign piece of material in my body, which was the heart valve. So
wow.
it shot an embolism through my brain. I had a stroke while I was on the operating table. So they caught it while I was there. Thank God. And then I fell into a coma for about like 9 days. They replaced the valve with a human cadaver valve, or actually it might be a pig valve. I'm not sure. That's meant to last for a lot longer than the mechanical valves.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was in a coma for like 9 days, came out of it.
Well, let's not brush over this.
Oh,
So, man, where are your parents during the surgery?
They're there.
So they got there. Now they're in the waiting room just getting
updated.
They're in
the waiting room. There were probably like 40 people there at all times.
Wow.
And man, infection on the heart just sounds like a Cyndi Lauper song, but yep. also...
Which I'd like to hear.
Well, if we can get this to her, she yeah. can write it about you.
Cyndi, please.
Finally, exactly. You said you would.
Don't give it to Sheryl Crow. It's got to be Cyndi Lauper.
It's got to be Cyndi Lauper.
I don't even like Cheryl.
Those two things just seem like the worst combo of
the
words.
The worst, yeah, yeah.
And I don't. I mean, shooting an embolism. What does that mean to your? That
basically, like imagine like a shock of electricity, like infectious mm-hmm. electricity being shot through your body. That literally could explode any particular piece of your body or your brain. Mainly,
it's like a Marvel villain.
Seriously, no, literally, no. It's like the Venom thing that like goes into like Tom Hardy or whoever that like makes him whatever he is.
Yeah.
So like this embolism was shot through my brain,
mm-hmm.
and it affected the left side of my head, or rather the right side of my head. So right now I'm left with a slight disabilities on my left side. So like my left hand, as you guys know, is like a little bit tighter than the other one. I walk with a little bit of a limp, but like that's after like months of me like walking with a cane and like being in a wheelchair and all that other stuff. But I mean,
and being in a coma. I mean, there's so many things that you just go, fuck, this sucks, but also what is the alternative?
Yeah.
Seriously. And the craziest thing is like everybody always says, like, you know, was this like a cultural reawakening for you? Like, did you do, are you more religious now? And, you know, I definitely don't think that I'm like more of like a faithful guy, but I saw some pretty intense stuff while I was in a coma.
Yeah, I was about to say, like,
in the coma?
Yes. What I remember vividly.
Yeah.
What are you seeing?
What are you seeing?
Well, first of all, I thought a coma was just you are straight up out.
You can, yeah, normally, but like for some people who are in under for a lot longer, they see stuff.
What are they trying to do to you while you're out? I mean, it's a waiting
game.
Keep
me alive.
Yeah, you're on life support.
I mean, they kept me on life support. They were shooting like, you know, liquid and vitamins through my body. I had all these like different intravenous things coming in and out of my body.
What is happening when you're in a coma?
I mean,
your heart, so everything's still going.
Everything is still going, but you're just like, it's not.
Your brain is shut down or what?
I mean, effectively, yeah.
Parts of it.
But it's not done.
Exactly. Like there is a piece of your brain that is still functioning, which is what probably gave me those dreams. There was some vortex or some part of my brain that was still active and was feeding those dreams into my head.
And now, is this medically induced or?
No.
Okay, because there's a couple celebrities recently where I think it was Luke Perry.
No, it was.
And the filmmaker, John Singleton.
Those are all medically induced.
Yeah, when you go into a medically induced coma, they put you in a coma
to
reduce swelling on the brain.
Yeah, to stabilize you.
Yeah, so they put you in a coma.
Yeah.
And if they do, it's not a good sign. Exactly good.
No. Yeah. Like, that's not a good sign.
So at some point, you were there and you were awake and then you just close your eyes, or you were resting and then just didn't wake up?
I mean, how
do they know? Do they see a coma coming?
I mean, I don't think so, but I think that, like, you know, whatever shock and, you know, hit that my body took, it was so cataclysmic.
This is post-stroke, yeah?
Post-stroke, yeah. I just, like, I couldn't, I guess my body just shut down.
Do you remember feeling the stroke?
No.
Yeah, because you're on the table.
Your brain, like, it's the brain is such a crazy thing, man. Like, it blocks out all the bad stuff. I don't remember
any of
the bad
stuff.
It protects you.
Yeah.
Totally.
Your brain's, they talk about that with trauma victims where the trauma, that's why,
children who have been raped,
you have
used.
They have to be reminded of it. And they're like, wait, what?
Yep.
That happened to me? Because your brain will physically just be like, no, that's some bad shit. Like, it's the weirdest thing ever when it happens. I'm not going to go too into this story, but a friend of mine recently reminded me something that I did that I had no idea that I did.
Wow.
And it was something where it's like, wait, what? And then you go back to that scenario. You're like, yeah, that's a really, like, that's a trauma situation.
Totally.
And I'm like, but my brain just blocked that out.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I remember
John, he keeps coming up. I remember I once, like, we were like really young and his mom was taking us somewhere and there was like a $10 bill sitting on the table and I just took it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like his mom comes out and you've met Karen.
Yeah,
she's
it's
like
the best.
Fucking best.
She was here with John last
time.
Yeah.
And she's like, there was like, where did this $10 go? And like, John's like, do you know where that? I'm like, no, dude, of course not.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I blocked that out of my mind for years. And then one day I'm with John, like, and his mom, like a couple years ago. And she's like, Brian, remember when you stole money from me? And I was like, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. But I did.
Yeah. And then did you at least
And I lied
$10?
About it for years and I still haven't paid her back.
I don't think you should have to.
I don't think so.
With interest now.
Yeah, there's interest.
With interest.
Now.
It's like $22.
Like, I was in a coma.
Yeah, come on. I had a stroke. I play the card so much.
Oh. The coma card?
Oh, my God.
I needed the $10 for, you know, my coma medication.
So listen, I get to board flights first now. I go on with military and handicapped folks.
Also, every game of Monopoly, if you can't afford Park Avenue, you play the coma card.
I look at my hand. I can't use it.
Give me Baltic Avenue.
Yeah, sometimes I'll get a little spit coming out of my mouth.
No way.
No, of course not.
Board flights early.
Yeah, that's board flights huge. Early. No, it's massive.
Wait, is there an actual card?
No. I know they don't ask. Like, I just, like, I go, hey, hey, look at this thing I'm wearing. You can feel my chest. There's an ICD in here.
Yeah, and watch me walk.
Yeah. Seriously, watch the way that I walk.
Yeah.
What's an ICD?
So it's an implant that's in my chest. Basically, it's connected to all of the different I forget the exact word for it, but like your heart has all these different leads that are connected to different parts of your body that help the blood flow. And all of the leads, like the major leads, are attached to this defibrillator so that if it ever detects like a slower heartbeat or something, it'll shock it back into place.
Holy shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And my dad and I always joke that I'm like a walking Wi-Fi router because it's constantly sending data to UCLA. Like right now, it's sending data to UCLA.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And now, is that something
if you guys need the password, I can tell you what
it is. Yeah. You can hack into it.
Yeah.
God, that's like an action movie
Everyone like jokingly calls me Iron Man. Like,
yeah,
because
like man. North Korea is gonna like hack into our defibrillators.
Right.
Like
I can't wait. It's gonna be sick.
Wait. So okay. So folks are in the. I just want to brush over the severity of that moment.
Yes.
They're in the waiting room.
The waiting room.
40 other people.
Correct.
And they're just getting what updates? I mean, I don't know how often someone's coming out.
I mean, it was very infrequent.
Yeah.
And then do they come out and they tell them he's now in a coma?
I mean, yeah, the updates were not good. Like everyone always says that, or my parents say in particular, that there were so many days where we would just leave the hospital crying and having realistic conversations in the tune of like, we might likely have to bring our son back in a coffin to New Jersey.
Yeah, Jesus. I'll be honest. I got a lot of updates from John and it was just so like gut-wrenching that like I kept... You know, and I've been in a lot of hospitals, and it's just like, man, it sucks. They've all been very like bad situations.
Yeah,
and
it's not a happy
man.
Place.
I just like could not like as much as I mean, it just was so devastating to even hear that, and I was just like, man, I don't even know what is being felt in that room. And
I want to know. I think about it sometimes. Like John, people will talk to me about it, and It's crazy for me to think about the other side. Like I'm thinking about how it was for me, but think about all these other people that devoted so much time and energy to making sure that I was okay. They were probably feeling just as much stress and trauma as I was, if not more. And they're the ones that still have to see those images of me not moving or not breathing. Sure. And like, I didn't see any of that stuff. Like I didn't
know.
What did you see?
When I was in the coma. Yeah. So, growing up, my best friend in the whole world was my dad's dad, my grandpa. Mm-hmm. We had these traditions where we would go into New York City and like go to Chinatown. And like I said, I was such a movie guy. And for some reason, I like really loved going to buy bootleg movies. Like I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
That's awesome. VHSs,
Yeah, no, of course. Before DVDs. And my grandpa would always like let me do it. Like he would never say no, even if it was snowing or even if there was so much traffic. He'd be like, let's go. Because it was like a fun activity for us to do.
Yeah.
And we would always go to the same diner. And,
that's
like,
cool grandpa shit, by the way.
Dude, he was
knowing
the best.
That the grandson wants to do it and it's fun and being like, I'm going to do that too. Like,
right.
I'm sure there wasn't a huge part of him that was like, yeah, let's go fucking bootleg
movies. No, I'm sure he hated it. And by the way, my grandma was always so upset when I'd come back with like five movies. Or ten. Like, she'd be like, you know, Nate, you got to stop spending all this money. The movies don't even look good.
Yeah.
And he's like, Muriel, it's fun for us.
Yeah.
And after like a certain
Muriel,
age,
what a great grandma
such,
name.
Such a grandma name.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I got smart and I was like, grandma, I don't want you coming anymore. Because she would always like limit the
be
amount
a bummer,
of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, seriously. Yeah. She was such a buzzkill.
You're like, you can get one earbud, not six.
Yeah, yeah,
like, but
there's 12 of them. I need the whole collection.
With being shot on a handy cam.
Correct. Like, correct. But yeah, so my grandpa would always come to pick me up and he would always do the same thing, right? He was in his like late mid 70s when he passed away. He had stomach cancer or maybe it was liver cancer. I don't remember which one it was, but it was cancer. He smoked for years.
Yeah.
He deteriorated really, really quickly, which was like kind of like a blessing in disguise because we didn't want to see it happen any longer.
Yeah.
But when he used to pick me up, he would never get out of the car. He was like one of those classic grandpas. He was like, I'm going to honk twice. They'll know that I'm there. It's time to come outside.
Yeah.
So I would always have this vision and it's still implanted in my brain right now. I can see it. I would always be waiting for him at the window that overlooked the driveway. I would always be ready 5-10 minutes in advance so that I could see him pull up. It was like such a high for me just to know that he was there, that it was time to hang. And in the coma, I vividly remember feeling as though I was standing in that room overlooking the driveway. Snow is coming down very quickly. He's in his car and he's wearing this gray jacket and a hat very similar to what Brad's wearing right now that he always used to wear.
Old man Brad hat. Yeah.
Old man Brad hat. And like I said, he's been dead for years. He died when I was a senior in high school. So that's more than like, it's more than 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I walk up to the car, I walk up to the front seat, trying to get into the passenger side. The door's locked. He looks up at me and starts turning his finger back and forth as if to say, like, it's not your time to walk in yet. I'm not going to let you in.
Whoa. That's mind-numbing. I mean, in your case, literally.
And I promise you that's 100% real.
Oh, yeah.
Man, well, that is heavy.
And I remember the first thing that I said when I woke up from the coma is, because I'm looking around and I'm all discombobulated, like, what just happened? Where have I been? What year is it? Who's the president? You know, like,
yeah.
They were asking me all those questions. Like, the hospital people make
Wait,
sure that...
Wait, you came out shortly after that?
Yes.
Jeez. So literally like, hey, get back in the house.
Seriously.
Like, you're,
and,
it's not
and
your
I
time.
Remember my dad... is looking at me and he's crying and my mom's crying and John's crying and everyone around me is crying, and I look at my dad and I go, Dad, I saw Grandpa.
So you immediately spoke and you could articulate. Mm-hmm. And
yeah,
because you said the stroke got this side, but not,
I mean, I'm sure it was like broken English. I'm sure I was not sounding
if we cut
right.
to the tape, you're just like, get the titty cereal off the ground. And everyone's like, what is he talking about?
I don't know, but dude, I mean, I looked straight at my dad in the eyes. I was like, Dad, I saw Grandpa and he looked amazing, and he was there. He told me not to go. And my dad just
even
like
more
lost
tears.
It.
Yeah, I was going to say. It. Are you kidding me, dude?
Because that's his dad.
Yeah. You waking up, like, game
so much
changer
emotion,
then you sang that. Right, I mean, it's out of a movie, dude.
Out of a movie.
Yeah.
And there was one other thing that I remember seeing, too. I don't remember what the order was. It could have been before the grandpa dream. But I also remember being on this, like, Polar Express, Orient Express type of luxury
Amazing.
Train.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. But no one was on the train except for me, and I couldn't see where the track was going, and it looked endless. So I hopefully, or I mean, I would assume that's like Limbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So so Limbo is just a long train ride.
A long train ride.
Jeez. That's... I mean,
right. That is
that's incredible. And you hear these stories about, God. You know, people see the light. They're surrounded by all
there
my dead
no
relatives.
Light
there
was no
they're,
light.
They're, like there's all there's a but there's a bunch of different things. But and I'm sure some people will tack it up to, oh, that's your brain releasing DMT. That's you dreaming. That's you whatever. But I mean, fuck, man, it's hard to not look at that as what you say it is. Is your grandfather telling you not yet?
Yeah, and like I said at the beginning, like, I'm not necessarily, like, you know, a religion heavy guy, you know,
sure.
Like, I am Jewish culturally, mm-hmm. and I identify with the religion culturally and socially. Like, I love being a Jew and mm-hmm. having Jewish friends and
well, sure.
dating Jewish women because they do everything for you. But yeah, I mean,
except
like,
anal.
You know,
what?
It's I didn't become more religious. I didn't become more religious, but like, you, how do you not see something like that and not start to think that, wow, maybe there is something else out there bigger than us that's like controlling everything.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And I would imagine not only just for you, but certainly for your family. When stuff like that happens, it's so amazing how fast everything in your life that you were worried about and you were thinking about, you were concerned about, just like
goes away. Yeah.
Nope. Don't
care.
Oh my
God. It was so easy for me to just rid myself of all of the people that I didn't need around me anymore.
I was going to say, what were the first, I mean, God, again, we could spend 4 hours on this.
Yeah.
We got about 20-ish minutes left, maybe a little bit more. But, I mean, it's almost like, I mean, shit, I remember asking some guy at a show once who immediately got out of prison, and he came up and he was like, I really needed all this comedy. Thank you for the show. I just got out of jail. And I was like, holy shit. Like, for 7 years for joyriding.
Yeah.
Some guy.
I know who you're talking about too.
Yeah. Really?
I think so. George?
No, it was just a random guy at Flappers.
Guy
who came out to me.
Oh, shit. Okay, never mind. I thought you were talking about a comic.
But joyriding. But I didn't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. So I go, what was the first thing you did? You know, because when you go through something like that, you're just like, what was the first? And he was like, I went to Denny's and I jerked off. And I go,
at Denny's?
Well, that's my next question. And by the way, now just saying this, I need to do it as a bit again, because I did it the next night, because he said it in the same sentence. So I go, in which order? And I go, and then I go, or at Denny's.
Yeah.
I go, you went to Denny's to jerk off, or you jerked off and then went to Denny's?
You think
or you
there
got
are
food?
People out there who are like, I go to Denny's to jerk off every
day. Well, that's why I asked.
Moon's over Miami, turn me the fuck off.
That's what I'm saying. So a hilarious.
Give me some flapjacks and I'll be right back. I'm going to go jack off in the bathroom.
Hey, don't make the food this good if you don't want me to rub one out to 2 feet from here. So getting, waking up and then reacclimating to the world. I mean, what are those next 24 hours like?
Oh, dude, I mean, it was...
Are there concerns of you going back into a coma? Can you wake up and go back out?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Once I was awake, but obviously like it was so hazy, I was so drugged up. But I do remember like people coming in, and I remember I was moved around from room to room to room because I went from like the ICU to the intensive ICU, back to like a regular room, back to the ICU, because I kept having so many complications. Because when you're in the hospital for as long as I was in there for like, you know, 6 months and change, and then went to rehab for like another four. So like when you're lying in a bed and you're around sick other people, you know, like you get sick. So I remember right after I came out of a coma, probably a couple of weeks after, I got pneumonia.
And yeah, that's common.
It's very common. And that, you know, put me sort of back and sort of hindered my ability to move into the rehab process as quickly as I could have. And I just remember like feeling so helpless. And the way that I describe it to everybody is like, you know, when like when you're in the airport and you're on those like moving platforms that take you through the terminal, so you don't have to walk.
Yes.
And people can walk on either side of you either as quickly or as fast as they want, as quickly or as slowly as they want to.
Yes.
I felt like when I was in the hospital, I was permanently on one of those like platforms, and everybody around me was walking really, really fast, but I was stuck.
Wow. Damn, dude.
And that's gotta be a trip, because like your head, like you're like, yeah, I want to get up, I want to go.
Yeah,
I wanna,
dude. Like
I wanna
people
do
from
stuff.
People from my office were coming in and like filling me in on stuff that my clients were doing, and like John was coming in, he was shooting that movie with Reese at the time.
Yeah,
and like all these people have all these exciting things going on in their lives.
Did
and
he send
like,
you a video from Reese?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, the best.
What? And this is what's so crazy to me, dude, is that like you were crushing it in your field. You know what I'm saying? Like climbing the comedy ranks and getting more established and getting more connections, right? Mm-hmm. Like. So how much of you in all this is there, and I think it's a natural human trait to get even sort of a little bit of your mojo back to where then you start letting frustrations that shouldn't be there settle in, where it's like, God, maybe I'm now like, what am I going to do with my job? And you're like, dude, you're lucky to be, you have to remind yourself, right? Like,
oh, constantly. Yeah. John was always the one that brought me back. I was always like, dude, like, you're crushing it right now. Like you're shooting an episode of Curb. You disrupt a movie with Reese. Yeah. Like you're doing all these amazing things. And like, what am I doing? I'm fucking sitting. He's like, Bri, what the fuck are you talking about, dude? You're alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, who cares about your job?
Right. It's natural to have those thoughts, though.
Of course.
But you need those people.
Well,
like
I mean,
John.
Especially living here, like you constantly play the compare game every day.
I know, dude. And especially when you've been busting your ass. And again, like you were like on the up and up. And now you're like, God, like this is not fair. Like now am I going to have to start over?
And that was a legitimate fear. And to be honest, like it kind of happened. Like I went back to my job and I had missed out on so much, and my clients had been passed off to other people and had made more relationships with other people. So it wasn't like I could just come back and be like, hey, give me everything back again.
And you didn't feel that in yourself, I'm sure.
No, I didn't. I mean, when I came back, I was going into the office for like 3 hours at a time each week. Like that was it. Like I'd go in for an hour and I'd make one phone call, type out one email, and I was exhausted.
Shut up, dude.
I swear to God.
That's got to be rough.
Think about, first of all, when you haven't looked, because I remember when I first got my phone for the first time too, like my dad was like, do you want to look at your phone? I had like 1,000 emails. Like I was like, fuck this. Like I do not want this. Just looking at the screen made me sick.
Yeah.
And going to work and having to type an email, having to focus and concentrate on that screen, not only was that making me nauseous, but to type out a single word, I wasn't used to typing with one hand yet. I've had to get used to just in general doing everything with one hand now. Because my left hand, while it works, it doesn't hold things. I can't brush my teeth with it. I can't run my hair with shampoo in my hair like with this hand. Like it's all my right hand.
Were you right-handed?
I was always right-handed. Okay. Thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's been such an adjustment, you know?
Did people even perceive, did you get a little like people being weird? Like, cause
I mean, like I was always in my head about it. I was like, fuck, people are going to notice that like my left side is, you know, dangling or something, or people are going to notice that I have a limp or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like that went away. Like that, that was like such a quick thing.
Good. Now here's something to ask is that after you go through a trauma like that, the people that are outside of your life, like when they see you the next time, they always are wondering, like, how do I act? How do I act around him? What do I say? What do I talk about? Am I allowed to bring it up? Am I allowed to joke about it? And for anyone who has a friend or family member who's going through something similar or just any kind of traumatic event, how would you tell people, like, to act around you?
Oh, dude.
Some
it
tips.
Was, going question. Back to the whole comedy thing, like, that was the only thing that made me keep going.
It's like
people would
jokes.
Come... People would come to the hospital and just rip on me. They would roast me.
Whoa.
Like,
and that was good for you.
It was amazing.
Whoa.
Okay. Like my buddy Nick Christ, you know Christ. Yeah. Like, dude, you look like shit. You're never going to get fucked again. It was amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the, like, being able to laugh through those times was like the best medicine.
And it's so amazing because that seems counterproductive to every kind of instinct that you have as a human being. Like, oh, I have to ignore it. I have to not talk about it.
You coddle this person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, no.
When people came in and were sentimental, it made me uncomfortable.
And sure. You're like, get out of here.
I was like, you got to go. Like, if you're going to cry, you got to get out of here.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So that, I mean, dude, that, so, I mean, you are Iron Man, but emotionally and just, I mean, do you not feel like you have a,
I mean, I cried. I cried one time in the hospital, and my dad and my mom were like so blown away by that. And the only time that I cried was when they did this additional surgery to put the implant in my chest, which is what's keeping all the leads and everything from beating properly. Mm-hmm. Like it's basically, like I said earlier, like this is the thing that keeps everything beating properly.
Sure.
They had to go in my under my skin to put it in.
Right.
So
right,
it
right.
was an additional procedure, and they literally had to cut through flesh to put this thing in it. They basically like opened up a pocket. In my skin and just drop this thing in. And that was one of the most painful experiences of my whole life. Coming out of that surgery, I literally felt like I was like getting shot with like needles all over my body.
Oh, God.
And that was the only time that I cried throughout all of it.
Are you fucking kidding? So even seeing people cry or get emotional didn't get you choked up?
No.
Why do you think that? Were you not an emotional guy prior to this?
No, I'm very emotional. I'm very, but I needed to stay strong for myself.
Yeah, it's a defense mechanism.
I kept saying, I was like, the moment that I cry is the moment that I stop being okay.
Because you start to maybe feel bad for yourself. Exactly. You start to...
And for sure, like when I left the hospital and I was out in the real world again and like trying to be my own person again, like for sure I cried a ton because I was like
grateful. Out
there very, grateful, but also like starting to remember all the, and having dreams and like remembering all the bad shit.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Now, hey, you don't think about that post?
No.
I've heard that like when you go through stuff like that, like then it sort of becomes... A lot of things will make you emotional that didn't make you emotional before.
Right.
Does that happen for you? Like you see,
Do you now not cry at rom-coms?
I will always cry during a good rom-com.
Yeah, okay,
always,
good.
Like you see a crazy dog
if
video.
You lose some
that'd
of those.
Be weird if you didn't.
Like I now no longer think Meryl Streep is a good actress.
No longer.
Yeah.
Martin Scorsese is no longer a good filmmaker.
I now think
I hate pizza for some odd reason.
I hate pizza. I think Elizabeth Berkeley is underrated.
Yeah.
Like all these weird things came out.
They should bring Saved by the Bell back.
Yeah.
That should always be there, I guess, logic.
Yeah. But like did it open up like a bunch of emotions for you?
No, it totally did. I'm so much more empathetic of a person now. I mean, I mentioned before, but like, you know, pre-stroke Brian, AD Brian, as we can say, like I was not the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like I was dating this girl for a very long time, like on and off for like 3 years, and I was very unfaithful and I lied constantly. And, you know, while working at the agency that I did for a while, like, you know, drugs were like a daily thing. And I was always out partying until wee hours of the night. And I just wasn't taking care of myself.
Dang.
And I wasn't being a good friend or like a good person to really anybody. And then when I came out of the coma, I realized how shitty I was being, and it made me become this much better, more self-aware person.
Very, It's a Wonderful Life.
No, seriously. No, really. No, it really was. But most of all, like the sensitivity of it all, like, yes, I'm like the smallest thing now can make me cry or like get emotional. One of my buddies who's friends with John and I, who you probably met, Adam Tony. You remember Tony?
Yeah.
The best.
Yep.
So he has been living in Orange County for the past like 6-7 years. He moved out here right after college, just like us. He went to NYU Tisch, also in the film industry. And he's been living up until a couple months ago with his dad's sister, who's been living out here for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And out of the blue, she collapsed one day and she passed away. And he was there and had to handle everything. And now he's living alone in this house. And I remember getting that call and I just completely broke down.
Yeah.
And I immediately like fell right back into like crisis mode.
Yeah.
And for me, like, you know, I'm so used to kind of like that, that gut response now because of what I've been through. But for like, you got to always recognize that like people grieve in different ways at different times. Right. So for me, I was like, dude, like I'm there. Tell me when to come over. I'm going to be with you 24/7. And he was a little bit, he didn't want it quite
yet. Yeah. Yeah. It's strange. Cause, I mean, we get that a lot, you know, when a friend or a family member unfortunately passes away, people say like, hey, if there's anything I can do for you, just let me know.
Cause like, what else are you going to say?
Yeah.
Like, you got it.
And sometimes you're just like, I don't need anything now. Like I don't want anything.
That was the hardest thing for me to hear.
Sure.
It's like, you don't want my help.
Yeah.
Then again, it's like, this isn't about me. This is about him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, and you probably being aware of that, of right. like, okay, yes, you're handling this differently, but handle it in your own time, and then whenever you need something.
Right. I'm always here.
Yeah,
exactly.
So you've completely shut off the urges to go back to old Brian?
Oh, dude, completely.
And are you still able to even have like a cocktail or anything like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Esau's fun.
Yeah.
I know what I mean, like, I can't do like crazy drugs anymore,
right?
But that's okay. Like, that was also was also like AD Brian,
yeah,
like that was like I don't want to do that stuff anymore, like,
and
I
don't
need it.
So now take us to like the current, like, again, I think it's just like it, and it has to be discussed because it's a part of the your story is because I'm sure there's a time when you said you went back 3 hours a day, you're exhausted, and you're like, oh, maybe I'm not gonna be able to do this, maybe I'm gonna have to find another job, or are there even thoughts of like, am I even gonna be able to find a job I can do I'm gonna have stamina for?
There was always that fear. Yeah, I mean, the company that I'm with and still with and was with while I was getting all this sort of getting through all of this stuff, I'm still with them. They've been amazing to me. They kept me on payroll the whole time while I was in the hospital, which meant that
good
I could
them.
Use the insurance policy.
Yes.
Wow. Which was such a huge plus. Could you imagine how much money that would have been for me and my family if I didn't have insurance?
Yeah, that's,
I mean, dude,
that's insane. We'd
crazy.
You'd still be doing the GoFundMe.
And that's exactly, and that's so not this industry either.
Yeah.
Like, people in this industry will be like, oh, you're sick? Well, fuck you. We're going to find
someone
else.
Yeah.
Well, that's an testament to how valuable showed you were.
They've been very, very good. But yeah, I mean, coming back was like such a process, but they were always very much on my side in terms of like, do it at your own pace, do what you need to do. But there was never any shred of doubt on my mind that I was going to change professions.
Wow.
Like, this is the only thing that I can see myself doing.
And your role at this company is?
So I originally was a manager.
Yeah.
Now I'm senior manager, but head of comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm working with like a handful of traditional and digital, but also traditional comedians. Like, people who have digital followings, but like with a Brittany Ferlin are also trying to do traditional stuff.
You started and run Brittany's podcast.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm running her podcast over with Josh Wolf, who you know as well.
Yep.
And the roster just keeps growing. And we got all these young guys that are popping up, like the new Millet or comedy people that we're trying to build out and do shows with them. But I mean, like, it's really, really cool. You know, it's a really cool kind of brand new millennial position where like it's so the Wild West and it's changing every day. And I mean, the traditional folks are starting to catch on to what they can do with digital, but like, we're kind of like the premier spot for digital, and we just continue to grow, and it's been really cool just kind of heading up this new initiative because nobody was doing it before, which I don't understand.
If there's ever a time where you're trying to get one of your clients something and you hear a no, do you bring up the story?
Always. I'm not even kidding, like when I'm signing people, I totally bring it up.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, sometimes it's bullshit, but it's like, you know, oh my God, like, you know, I was so sick for a while. And actually there was this girl that I was talking to for a long time who's a YouTuber, and she's blind.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like this huge inspiration. People are obsessed with her. And I really do like her content a lot. And I remember I reached out to her, just cold called. And I was like, look, I don't care if you end up working with me or not, but like, you're such a huge inspiration. I just had this like hugely traumatic, life-threatening experience, and seeing you like producing content every day and being so confident and being able to put yourself out there and not caring about what people might think about you, like, that's so inspiring. That doesn't happen all the time.
Yeah.
But like, if I can ever use my experience to connect with someone else on an emotional or metaphysical or whatever level, of course I'll do it. You know, like, even Drew Lynch, who I was working with for a while, you know Drew?
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guy with stutter.
Yep.
That was the first guy that I signed when I came out of the hospital. And of course we made a connection because we've both been through the shit storm and back.
Yeah.
And everybody's had some type of
he wasn't experience. Born with a stutter.
No. Right. He got hit with a baseball in his throat.
Yeah.
At like 21 or something.
And then all
That's
of a sudden,
insane. That terrible.
Happens. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now he's impaired for the rest of his life, but he doesn't let that slow him down.
Right. You know, like, stand-up comedy.
So again, like,
talks, I mean, for a living.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Great.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
It's great.
That's that feeds you too. Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
totally.
Just like having this job, like, and getting every day is a new challenge, and the amount of people that you can affect. You should be at some point, I'm sure. I mean, hopefully this podcast, you know, I don't know how much you've told the story publicly, that how many people that don't know the story.
I mean, I think like my closest family and like my friends know, you know, like, it's not something that I like, you know, wear on my shoulder, so to speak.
And you're not like trying to do public speaking engagements.
I mean,
or,
honestly, it's something I've thought about. Like, I really feel
you should at some point, because you're already a naturally gifted speaker and
stand up a few times, like, you know it.
And again, having to be able to tell a story like this and be funny with it, I feel like is a home run
combo.
I mean,
here's what I've been thinking, and you tell me what you think about this. Because like, when I was in rehab, it was me and like a ton of like 70-80-year-old men and women. Like, whoa. I was the youngest person by 60 plus years at this rehab facility. So all of the programs they had were so aged up, and there was nothing for people my age. So I'm sitting in all these rooms with like older people who are not awake or like not able to function or have conversation.
Right.
And they're like, Brian, like, do you want to tell us about how you're feeling? And it's like, well, I don't really feel comfortable doing this because there's nobody else around me who I feel connected to.
They have no idea who Ruben Studdard is.
Exactly. They don't know who Clay Aiken is. They have no idea who these people are. Exactly. They don't even, they didn't even know any of the concerts.
Is he related to Benny Goodman? Yeah.
No, I represent comedians like Jack Benny. Oh, God.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, it's the same. No, seriously. So like in my mind, like, if there's something that I can do to give back to like this community or any community at all, it would be to set up like youth centers for like grief counseling for things like this.
Yeah,
like, that's a great idea. People my age are getting sick every day. If it's cancer, if it's a stroke, if it's whatever it is, and I know that they have self-help groups that exist.
They do,
but we weren't able to find any.
No way.
It's weird.
Out here.
Yeah, because I think
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, because I think out here there would be.
There were zero.
I mean, yeah, I would expect that if you were like in Des Moines, but you're in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. There was nothing. Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, there's. I feel like as you progress and continue to crush, like you're going to. Opportunities are going to come your way. And again, I think like this podcast being. To have a chance to tell it in a way where you can, you know, truly be yourself.
Yeah.
And there's. You know, shit, man, the amount of people, they're probably just going to reach out to you after this that are have gone through their own shit. I mean, it's like...
I love it. Like, I love when I meet someone. Like, I was just on a plane, like, 2 months ago, and I was sitting next to this woman, and she was like, yeah, like, you know, my daughter's best friend just had a stroke, and it was completely, like, a freak. It's like I have all of these, like, random connections with people all over the world.
Are you going out of your way to do that more than you did before?
Of course.
Are you truly waking up with a... Like fucking looking like hello, hello day, and like
every
you
day
know,
I wake
singing
up
to
every,
yourself.
Yeah, every day I wake up and I play the same song on my iPod. Or you
what
know,
is
I,
that? We're gonna be happy for the
yeah, yeah. No,
life.
No. I love beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day, beautiful day. Who's that? Who sings that song?
Me three.
No. Lovely day. Oh, Bill Withers.
Bill Withers.
Lovely day.
I love that song. Wow, dude.
Day. Every day.
That's the opening of your movie, dude.
Every day.
Yeah.
Because there's a Lifetime original movie event waiting to happen.
I can't wait for that to happen.
And I mean, say that. Why not? And some of you are like, Lifetime, isn't that bullshit fucking channel that used to have Christmas movies with Candace Cameron?
Yeah.
What's your last name?
Burray.
Yeah.
I only know it because she married a hockey player. That's the only reason why I know that.
Doesn't matter. You can count on Brad to know stuff that you don't know.
I love that.
That doesn't matter. But it does matter.
But it does
see how it mattered right there?
Yeah.
It matters right now. What?
There's that show You was on Lifetime and now Netflix, and so I now have so much more respect for Lifetime.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody's producing premium now.
Yes, I love that. So that song, you wake up, you sing that, and does that truly? What does it do to you? Does the consistency of that, because you did that shortly after the hospital, is that what?
I mean, that
how
actually,
much are you trying to connect back?
That started happening when I moved back into an apartment.
Okay,
because I was living with my folks at. An apartment complex in Westwood for like 6 months after getting out of rehab, just because I wasn't really able to take care of myself just yet. Like it was hard for me to like get in the shower. It was hard for me to get my clothes on.
Yeah, so you needed help
to do everything.
That's what you're just telling me pre-show that 45 minutes to get your socks on or something.
Yeah. I mean, like in the beginning, it would take me 45 minutes to get my left sock on.
Jeez. Now, not to like burst your bubble or anything. Have you? Heard about the things that really help with that? Like
yes.
The, okay.
Yes.
Do you have one of those now?
I don't because I always wanted to do it on my own.
Okay.
I didn't want to. There are devices that you can buy that will help you with those things. There are also.
I had one.
No, there are devices you can buy. There's also because I can't tie my shoes. I only have one hand.
Yeah.
And for a while, people were like, oh, like you can buy these like, you know, these like stretchy things that like pull your laces up for you. But I'm like, that looks so lame. There's no way I'm going to wear those. And I'll be honest, I'm a very like, what's the word I'm trying to think of?
Bougie?
Right now? I'd kill to be bougie. I'd kill to be bougie. No.
That's the name of your memoir.
Yeah. I would kill to be bougie by Brian Lee Ruin. Yeah. Well, no, I'm a very vain person. Like, yeah. I try to not be.
In a fun way.
In a fun way. Yeah. Like, I want to look good.
Yes.
Like,
what's wrong
with
that?
I like looking good. And, like, there's no way I'm going to walk into work with these, like, stupid fucking stretchy laces that look like they're for a kid that, you know, can't, you know, fucking. Yeah.
And
blow
you guys
his nose.
Replaced the batteries in my life alert pouch.
Seriously.
Yeah. And by the way, I completely get it. Like, because whenever I board a plane and I got to get my bag in the overhead storage bin, I do it myself, and people offer to help me all the time. I just go, no, I got this. And it's not because, you know, I'm like, it's vanity. I think it's just this, like, no. I'm going to have a normal life.
Yes.
Right.
I'm not going to let somebody else. Yes. And I have to have a normal life.
Right. Well, see, for me, it's the opposite. In the beginning, when I would get on planes, I'd be embarrassed to ask people for help to get my bag up on the top. And I'd struggle for 20 minutes.
Oh. Yeah.
And people would just be like, dude, like, we can help. I'm like, no, I wanted to prove it to myself. But now I know, like, yeah, okay, maybe for a while I might not be able to get my bag up in the upper hand compartment.
Gotta come to
terms. But that's okay.
With that.
Like, yeah. That's all right. Like, I don't mind asking for help. Like,
yeah.
That's okay. I'm not going to be bigger than what I need to be.
Yeah. So you wake up each morning. I just want to lastly know, like, how much do you do on a daily basis to connect to what you went through, to just get those daily bursts of a man, thank, like, just to, in case you feel yourself going down a path of, like, you know, complaining about something that maybe you shouldn't, how do you quickly access what you went through to go, hey man, back, take a step back?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like a perfect example. Like yesterday, for example, I was having a call with an agent at one of the, you know, top three agencies. We don't have to name names or where it was, but, like, you know how those calls can be. And
all-star,
like,
the all-star agency on La Brea.
Seriously. Yeah, exactly.
I'm joking, by the way. I almost signed with them my first year.
Oh, that's a real place?
Yeah, the all-star.
I think you should go back.
I know. I'm looking to make a change.
Would you rather be a big fish in a small pond or a small fish in a big pond?
Or the only fish
or
in a big pond?
The only fish in a ditch?
Do you want? Yeah.
Oh my God! If that wasn't their pitch on the door, you want to be the only fish in a ditch?
Do you
want to
come here?
Do you want to be Jimmy Butler on the Heat, where it's like that's your fucking team
in Miami?
Yeah. Or do you want to be Sean Livingston when he was on the Warriors, where it's like, great player, ninth best guy on the team?
None of that means anything to me.
Yeah. So you had this call and you just got frustrated,
So I mean, it was just like a classic, like, yo, you're stepping on toes, like, back off, like, we got this. And I'm like, well, normally I'd be like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, this is my thing. I'm championing this, like, step off. But I get this call, and although my instinct says attack this person, fight for yourself, there was something inside of me that one day was just like, you know what, I'm having a really good moment right now. Like, I feel happy with my life and I feel content. Good things are happening. Why do I want to waste and ruin all that with fighting with someone that's going to get me nowhere and ultimately lead to more drama?
Wow.
Just avoid it.
Yeah.
Just be bigger than it.
That's
awesome, man.
And that's a really mature thing to think, where you go, like, yeah, I could do this. I could go down this road.
Yeah.
But like you say, you're in a good place. You're happy. Why have that switch over what?
Yeah. Exactly.
Over what?
Exactly.
So
yeah,
that's a really healthy attitude, man. And I mean, I hate that sometimes people have to go through something like that you went through to arrive at that mindset and to be in that place. But it's like you said earlier, it's at the same time the worst and the best thing that ever happened.
Yeah, I mean, my family and I talk about it all the time. I mean, like, even for just, like, I'm an only child. So, like, my relationship with them, with my mother and my father, while all this was happening, was so hard because, you know, they were my caregivers for a while. Like, I was living with them, and I'd put all of the stress and depression onto them, and we would have these screaming matches, and, like, we'd be throwing stuff, and it was terrible. It was horrible. And my parents are the most, you met them, they're the most amazing people in the world. But I mean, this whole experience has made us such a closer knit. You know,
because there's no way they were going to not do that for you.
Exactly.
But also, they don't. God, that's the part that, I mean, again, and that's the part in a movie that, like, you would really need to see, because that's the part where you go, you think it's all rainbows and hand jobs once you get out of the hospital.
Well, hopefully not with your parents, but
example.
Hey, man, let's not exclude.
I should have said cookies. I didn't want to say two of the things that. Okay, so rainbows and cookies.
Yeah,
so
hand jobs
and hand jobs. Yeah. Cookie flavored hand jobs.
I would try one.
Ben and Jerry's, the new hand job. Cookie dough.
Come on down and try the new hand job cookie. Extra creamy.
Hand job cookie. Was it cream gay?
Made with cream gay.
We made with cream gay.
Cream, you know, it's
cream,
like,
of gay.
Getting to see that time, because how you just think you get out and you go, now we're all on the clear. Now it's just about recovering. But it's like, dude, you try, I mean, in the speed at which you recover and feeling maybe the good days, now you can back off.
Yep.
You just probably getting depressed at some points because you're just like, fuck, man. Like, I don't, I mean, yeah, you're amazing, dude.
I mean, dude, it's, I mean, it's been such a, like a team effort and I don't take that lightly. I mean, like my team, quote unquote, whenever I call them my team, by the way, at like the hospital, they're like, we're not a team. Why do you, I'm like, I work in Hollywood. But everyone at the hospital, like they're all so amazing.
Keep in touch with them?
All the time.
Cool.
All the time. And like, they're like family now. I mean, you know, like they were with us through such a hard time.
His heart is sending them emails right now.
Literally. Literally. And I can tell.
They're downloading this podcast.
And I can tell that neither of you have attached to the Wi-Fi yet. Dude,
he gets a little buzz every time.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, cool.
Fuck.
Got it.
Right, spam alert.
It's all filled. It's all filled. The signal's really low right now.
Turn off cookies.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's like, I mean, I am very blessed to be surrounded by amazing people.
You are, man.
I have great friends. And
well, it stems from you, man, because, you know, people, you know, I think there's a lot of good in people and a lot of people that I think will rise to the occasion to be at somebody's disposal when shit hits the fan, but like extra times 10 when that person is somebody like Brian Lieberman,
thanks, man.
So, dude, thank you. This was unbelievable.
Yeah. No, this was unbelievable.
Did you have a good time?
I love this show. In general.
I know.
But now I love it more.
Would you say this is the best thing to happen to you since waking up with a coma?
100%.
Okay, good.
Without a doubt. Yeah.
Follow you on socials?
Sure, yeah. Follow me on social media. Instagram at unbelievable, like unbelievable.
I love that.
Unbelieb, L-I-E-B, able.
I think you did that before the Biebs did like...
Oh,
the
I did.
Right?
I created it my senior year of college and he wasn't popular yet.
There you go.
Yeah. So honestly, if you're listening, we need to talk.
Yeah,
we do.
And he's in hot water right now, isn't he?
Yeah, because
he's like
just,
Taylor Swift or something.
He bought her entire catalog.
Why did he do that?
Because he's a dick.
Wait, so that basically was like, did he work with the company that?
Oh. I have no idea. I hate the gossip stuff, but I do think that he's been doing some not so good stuff.
By the way, Scooter, that was Adam and Brian saying all the bad shit about
him.
This is me, Brad Williams, saying,
dude,
like, yeah,
somebody wants
great
free
guy.
Tickets.
Dude, honestly,
are you kidding me?
If you get those tickets, I want to go
me
too.
I watched a documentary by myself in Irvine before a comedy show once.
The never
How many
say never.
Beaver docs are there?
Never say never.
Yeah,
I saw that in theaters, dude.
Can I? Me too.
In 3D.
Okay, well, you beat me on that.
That hair in 3D.
So cool.
I was there. Pretty good.
I was there. So funny. It was inspiring though. Like truly, here I was being like, this kid just was working on raw talent, but I'm like, he went to radio stations at like 12 and around the country to play songs live. Also, you're seeing him drumming at 7, and you're
crazy.
Like, what?
The dude's a real talent.
Yeah.
And I respect the fuck out of him.
I met him once at the chiropractor that I used to go to. They also do cupping and some acupuncture and stuff. Mm. And, I mean, Timberlake, it's a very cool place in Beverly Hills.
It's very bougie.
Very bougie.
Yeah.
I'd kill to be bougie.
I aspire to be bougie.
Yeah. So we'll go here. And I'm in there, and I'm get up from the cupping. I'm in my boxers, and the door's open as I'm getting to walk out. So I'm standing in my boxers, and Biebs is standing there at the counter to check in, mm-hmm. or in the little waiting room. And he looks at me, and he goes, "What up?" And I go, "Yo." And I go, "This is how we were supposed to meet." And he starts laughing. And he goes, "What'd you get?" I go, "Cupping." He goes, "Ah, the best." I go, "I feel great, dude." I go, "I feel like I can be one of your backup dancers." He's like, "We should talk." I go, "We should talk." I go, "We're talking. Let's get into it.
Give me your
just
info."
Having this great banter,
what's
like
your
in my boxers,
handle?
Yeah.
And he's just being real sweet. And then I go,
whole time thinking, don't get hard.
And then he goes, "What do you do?" And because he's just having fun banter like that, you're thinking any person now is like a little interested. And I go, "I'm a comic." And he goes, "Oh shit." He goes, "You know, Chris D'Elia." I go, "I'm on a show with him tonight."
He loves D'Elia, doesn't he?
He's his favorite comic.
Yeah.
I go, "I'm on a show with him tonight." Started with him. And he was like, "That's the best." And I go, "Do you want to come to the show?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Take my number." Took his number, texted with him a few times. And then on the third text, not delivered. Changed his number.
Well,
but guess what? Got two exchanges.
There you go.
And talked to him in my boxers. Which,
well,
hey, dear diary.
I see that you have a lot of like memorabilia here. Yeah. Like, why would you not screenshot that text and put that
hilarious
on?
I think you can still go back and do it.
You should, dude.
I mean, do I have a framed picture with him when he came to the Laugh Factory? Maybe.
I would too.
I know. I told my nieces that, by the way, and they're
so cute. By the way, your nieces.
The best. I know.
You create so much content with them.
I need to go back and do, because they love these shows where you watch that you make slime.
Oh, the slime channels.
Yeah.
huge part of our business.
So I'm going to do that for them soon. And unwrapping presents. Yeah. To be a kid now and to know if we could have made money on opening toys.
The richest guy on YouTube is a kid that opens toys.
P.S. Ryan's Toy Reviews.
What is his name?
Ryan's Toy Reviews.
See? Hey, Ryan. Fuck you, you rich bastard.
You're literally not anything.
He's three?
I don't know what he is. Okay,
and they had and they sold a show to Nickelodeon.
Of course they did. He's going to open some more toys.
Where they're literally just opening
toys. Oh, look, he's going to open another toy.
Yeah, but did he go, did he live through a coma?
No.
See?
Fuck you, Ryan.
But you want to know something? We could make that happen.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
So, that's the show.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamy Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?